This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the Evening Star Attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
We're on a mission from God.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Well, how? What can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Okay, PFW in Progress, and we are the band. It's Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. No Fred Kirsch today.
Woo-hoo!
He had a doctor's appointment, I believe, or something.
He made up to get out of here. He was going to go find out how long he had to live.
Yeah.
Well, the last I heard, he was telling you he was leaving different things to you guys.
I get the new assault rifle, BB gun, pellet gun, whatever he bought at Bass Pro Shops yesterday.
We should mention this story. Fred Kirsch bought a pellet gun at Bass Pro Shops, and we asked him, how much was it? And his response was, and I quote, oh, it was only $170.
Right.
So can you imagine how many times are you going to use the pellet gun? Twice?
Probably.
So he spent $170 on a pellet gun, which we would think would be the most shocking thing we heard this morning, but our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, the cheapest man alive, is going to spend $1,000 on a kayak?
Yeah, a kayak.
He's buying his own kayak?
Yeah.
No. He has a $500 kayak. He
wants
to upgrade to a better one. So he's going over there to look at kayaks.
I would agree with Andy.
This is the guy.
I am stunned.
This is the guy who, when his wife's ball joints went out on her car, had to like transfer money, beg for the credit card, do something to pay the bill, and yet he's getting a $1,000 kayak.
And I need to say something. That kid is the biggest pansy I've ever seen.
He's still calling
getting his wisdom teeth out surgery. He said yesterday, and I quote, I'm still recovering from surgery. Like Gary said a little while ago, it's like he had heart surgery, for Christ's sakes. I mean, Chris, I want you to come down here and defend your manhood, because you're the biggest wuss that I've ever seen.
Won't be seeing him.
And he's still, by the way, just judging from some of the emails that have come in, he's still getting some static about the volume levels on the podcast and stuff. So he hasn't cleared those hurdles either yet.
Young Chris Ferreira
continues to be under the gun.
Yes,
under pressure.
And we should also tell listeners, he's afraid to go in the locker room because the guys are naked. I mean, how old are you? 8?
It's not exactly my favorite thing in the world either.
But you don't have to stare at them. You know what I mean? Don't you kind of get used to the guys being naked? We've all been in a shower before with guys. Andy?
Okay. Is that what you guys do on the road?
I gave you a free one.
You've never showered?
Of course I have. I'm just kidding.
Well, there were some kids like in high school that don't.
I couldn't stand those people.
They're like afraid to take a shower.
I make fun of my nephew now. Plays freshman football and
doesn't shower.
None of them do.
Did I shower as a freshman?
Oh God, I was like in the
might have started as a
fifth
sophomore.
And sixth grade gym class. You shower after gym. How do you go back to class?
I think I was scared of the upperclassmen as a freshman.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't exactly say I wanted to be around the upperclassmen when I was showering, but you do what you got to do to not stink.
Well, this show's off to a great start. We've talked about Chris Ferreira, Fred's pellet gun, and showering with men.
Hey, that's why you're the leader, man.
Yeah, you're leading the ship.
I started it, actually. What do you got there, Gary? Something?
We're still soliciting lunch.
We're still trying to find lunch.
I thought you had Craig from South Carolina written on that pad already.
No.
So what do we got?
I think we're going to lose Craig, by the way, aren't we? Didn't he say he got a real full-time job?
I doubt that. we had Dean Pease today spoke.
Yep.
He is my vote to take over as head coach if Bill Belichick ever decides to leave. The guy's phenomenal.
I agree.
Gives you some information. Maybe it's just because we're used to I find it funny, Andy, because when they ask him a question and he gives the answer, I already have the answer in my head from what Belichick would say.
Right, and he does.
You know what Belichick's going to say, and he actually. So, Andy, what did you think of his press conference? I know you took some things from it.
I thought he was good. He was asked a few questions on Brandon Merriweather, which he basically talked a lot about. He's still learning that there's a transition process to anybody just coming to this defense.
Just to butt in, they can't hear air quotes when you use them.
Learning.
I don't know what this means.
He seemed to, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but seemed to sort of be very willing to make excuses for Brandon Merriweather. So it was like he was just ready to explain why he hasn't been out on the field and, you know, talked about veterans struggle sometimes with this defense and that, you know, Merriweather's getting better every day and learning but isn't there yet. Talked a little, was asked a lot of the same question about the Colts game and, you know, finally walking off that field a winner and different questions there. I didn't really get them, but he basically said, you always feel better when you win than when you lose. It's kind of like Tom Casale's the team that tries will win theory. Apparently Dean Pease likes to win.
Don't make fun of Tom too much. You have a theory similar to that in that it's always, it's easier to lose than it is to win.
That's actual and factual.
And you leave out the biggest part of the theory.
Yeah,
the
I know. It's funnier without
the end.
He also, I asked him a question for a Paul Perillo story on Ellis Hobbs, and the first thing he said was, without singling out anybody in particular, right. We haven't given up a lot of big plays this year, and that's what he thinks been good about the pass defense. Up until the Colts game, he said they'd given up one plus 30 play, and then they obviously had that big one, which was sort of not really a big pass play.
Exactly.
It's a little dump-off pass that poor tackling and some bad angles and guys pushing each other down led to a big play.
Right. Statistics will show that as a big play, but it really it didn't really have anything to do with shoddy coverage. It was bad tackling.
He was also asked a few questions on Adalis Thomas not being in the lineup in the Colts game much and that decision. And he basically he talked about a story back a couple years ago. One week, Roman Pfeiffer played 60 snaps. Ted Johnson played 6. The next week, that flip-flopped. That's the way it goes on defense. You look at schemes and matchups, and you do what you need to do. Then I asked him a great question about the wrinkle in the 4-2-5 they threw out there against the Colts, and he admitted that you are a little worried initially about whether it's going to work.
The question, you called him coach.
I always call him coach.
Excuse me, coach? Were you Steve Burton?
No. I wonder if he was suiting up this week.
I could be.
That's one thing. It's one of those that Andy and I always go bicker back and forth about. And I think it's disrespectful. Andy thinks it's the opposite.
I thought you didn't like it either, Andy.
No, Andy always calls coaches coach.
Really? Yeah. I just noticed it today. I think it's asinine.
Hey, wow. Tom, you and I. Same page. That never happens.
Matt from Quincy isn't happy. He said $170 for a pellet gun. I can't believe I bought that guy lunch. Talk about money to burn.
Oh, my God. Shut my eye out.
A whimsical purchase. And they probably spent a grand at the place because he said, Connor got some stuff. Yeah. My wife got some clothes.
Well, yeah, to set the whole story here, the guy's in love with Bass Pro Shops on top of it all. So God only knows how much money he spent altogether. Well, that's what you know, I heard you guys trying to do. You're not that big, Kyle. Put your muscles away, all right? You wonder, you know, how much stuff he actually bought when he was there. I mean, and I know when he was leaving for the doctor's appointment today, I know you guys were, you know, fighting each other to see who got left his bank account.
that's going to end up being, you know, Carol Hardy, our webmaster, our circulation manager has a problem with the pro shop where she buys too much. That's going to be Fred's version of
yes.
that. He can't help himself. If he goes in there, and you know he missed the lefty guy.
I was going to say, come to think of it. Is this doctor's appointment to see that fly fisherman?
He did say
he
was going to be here today. It wasn't yesterday. It's today that
I'll be an SOB. He's over at Bass Pro Shop with that fly fisherman. He's
rubbing some lefty fly fisherman's thigh.
Man, the man is a menace. He really is.
I agree.
He's a menace.
The locker room look loose. They're going to kill the Bills.
Yeah,
they got no worries whatsoever.
I mean, it's been a very light locker room all year. But they're bringing it to new levels. They're having so much fun in there.
Ray
Ventrone taking jumpers off of a pick from Asante Samuel.
I hate to say the first part of this, but I was doing a radio hit in Maine, the one that doesn't pay me like it pays Andy. But they asked me about Belichick, and I said, the guy's been in a good mood all year. It's like him and the. It's like they know. It's like they know that they can't lose, and they're so confident. They're not being cocky, but it's just.
No. I think you're right.
Don't you think Belichick last year, the last 2 years I've been here, has those weeks where no matter if it's Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, he's not playing along. He doesn't feel like talking. This year he's coming in, what's up, what's the stories about this week, laughing, joking, he's not 6'2", the sun doesn't set on this.
Right.
I mean, he's full of them.
You're right. There's always been times in the past that you'll, no matter what question you ask, no matter how legitimate, he just doesn't want to play along. He's going to be argumentative and confrontational. I haven't seen that but two or three times all year where he just refuses
he hasn't
to play
been cranky
along.
Much.
No. He's been in a
the guy who
very,
brought up
very
the undefeated season
mood.
In like week three was, you know, he got a little of the
you know,
death
but
stare.
I would say beyond any of the Spygate stuff early in the year, he has not seemed to be bothered one bit by anything that's gone on in any of his press conferences.
But I think maybe what Andy had said about the Spygate, I was thinking, maybe that kind of did a little something. I mean, listen, the guy's got a huge ego. All great coaches do. It's not a shot at him. But maybe the Spygate thing kind of
humbled him
a little bit to the point where...
First time he's ever had a weakness. Been a fallible character.
Fallible. I will say this, Tom. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. After that game, the San Diego game, and they showed it on Patriots All Access when the team, first of all, you know, I think Bruschi led the cheer that week. Because how do we feel about playing for Coach Belichick, something like that. Mr.
By
Kraft,
we, he meant everybody else.
Right. Everybody but him. we can't
so funny that he leads the team in tackles through 11 weeks, 10 weeks, and we still just pick at it.
That's the most misleading stat in the world. Nate O'June led the Colts in tackles last year.
But anyway... the fact that Mr. Kraft gave him the game ball, and you just saw almost like this side of Belichick. He didn't say anything, but you could see what Tom is talking about with that kind of confidence. Maybe the little of that facade was removed, and it was almost like you could see a human side of him that we don't generally get to see very often. And I think there might be something to that. That whole thing that he was put through kind of really made him pause a little bit, and you know, I don't think he's changed his approach in terms of how he coaches or anything like that, but maybe he is a little bit lighter about certain things.
Well, the day I heard he said hi to you two schmoes, that was it for me.
Well, I don't know why you got
to
keep bringing
that up. It's almost it for us, thanks to a moron who works for the Boston Herald.
Yeah, but we talked about it on the air.
No, I
when
know.
When it happened.
But we don't need some moron writing about it.
Oh, I know.
No, plus we don't need to...
And the way, light it was painted
right,
in.
Right. The way it was written was like we were making fun of the fact. We weren't making fun of the fact that he said hi to us. We were using that as an indication that, wow, they really are pretty confident this week.
Quite frankly, you were thrilled to death. I mean, I've been in an elevator with the man and didn't put his head up.
Yep.
So, we got emails. I see subject lines. Tom's boy, Andy, is bosexual. I don't know where these are going, but...
bosexual.
I kind of like that.
I do, too.
Air quotes.
So, air quotes.
Well, let's go to Tom's boy because that's about me. Okay, this is from Steve. He says, I'm watching the Arizona game to get a look at Antoine Kaysen, who I know Tom loves and has been talking about for months. So far, he's already picked off a pass and returned it for a touchdown and is returning punts. I don't know much about him, but he looks like a heck of an athlete. Tom, where do you see Kaysen going, and do you think the Pats would consider drafting him if they lose Samuel? One more thing. I don't know what Andy looks like, but I'm guessing it's nothing like Matt Damon. Something tells me that the guy voted the sexiest man alive doesn't crap himself on a regular basis.
Now, how do we know? Maybe Matt Damon has a digestive problem.
And then he sent one Tom's boy too a minute later. As I sent the last email, Kaysen returned a punt for a touchdown. I love this guy. Kudos for the heads up, Tom. Keep those West Coast prospects coming.
We have live emails now?
apparently. I would say that, in my opinion, Kaysen is one of the top-rated corners to come out in a while. I think he has everything. He has instincts. He knows how to go after the ball. I've had the luxury of watching him because I stay up till 2 in the morning and watch those Pac-10 games.
That and you're a loser.
Well, that was the... I thought that was...
All those are the same?
Yeah. But I'm glad to see that the Pac-10's been on ESPN the last couple of weeks. Hopefully they will get a deal done with ESPN so we can see these players more. But he's a heck of a player, and I think he's one of those guys that right now the public might not know a lot about, but come draft time, he's going to be one of those hot Patrick Willis type names.
That's his 40 time. Because that's when they'll start nitpicking.
He's awful fast. I know that he's awful. He's smart. He's one of those Calvin Johnson types where he's a good student. He's intelligent. He's smart. He works in the community. He's a great football player. And people might not know that now, but come draft time, that's when all the stuff will come out.
Come February on Patriots.com, you'll know it.
And plus, he plays safety, too, so he has that flexibility. Now
and returns kicks.
Yep. Okay, well, we have Mike in Sharon is on the line. Mike, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. I wanted to ask a question more so towards the coaching staff than for the players. But do you think the coaches put a little bit of extra pressure or incentive to the players, especially in this game against Buffalo, where one of your goals is at the beginning of training camp to win your division? I mean, that's really the main goal at the beginning of training camp. And, you know, seeing how this game is practically, you know, the Super Bowl for Buffalo, do you guys think there's any extra pressure coming from the coaching staff towards the players this week?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there is, Mike.
No, I'm sure they use that. Yeah. It's a division. Bill always talks about division games and all that, but I really have bought into the whole 1 week at a time. They treat them for the most part the same. You know, they're getting very much used to being 16, 17, 18 point favorites, the public projecting them to blow another team out. So it's just another week.
And we've bought into that philosophy for a long time now, back to, you know, the days before the long winning streak. I just think that, yeah, I think you're right, Mike, in what you say about the importance of winning the division. I think that is something they talk about in training camp as they head into the season. That's one of their first goals. But certainly they're playing for other things in addition to that. And I don't think anybody down there, Andy, try not to hurt yourself. He's like losing his shoes and headphones and everything. But, Mike, I think that you asked any of those people down there at the end of the year if they won the division, but that was it, I don't think too many of them would consider that a successful season. So there's a lot more on the line here. This is just step number one, that, you know, to take another step toward clinching another AFC East title. But I don't think they're going to get any additional external pressure from their coaches.
Yeah, it's just the only, you know, thing that you hear Belichick say besides, you know, the one game at a time is the winning the division thing. And so I was wondering whether or not that ever plays into players' minds.
I do think it's important. I do think it's important. I think that's their first goal every year is to win that division.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right,
take care, Mike.
Take care.
See ya.
We got some good emails coming in today. They're really cracking me up as I'm going through them. But
maybe it's because Fred's not here.
Scott wants to know, Paul, just curious, but why is calling one of the coaches coach disrespectful? What is the proper and respectful way to address a coach?
No, first of all, it's not something I feel awfully strongly about. I make fun of Andy about. But I just feel like if you're not a player, if you're not one of his players, I'll give you an example. Terry Francona, who is the manager of the Red Sox, despises when the media refers to him as coach because they're not his players.
And by the way, if I knew openly that I wouldn't do it.
I'm not saying that.
Bill doesn't like it.
That wasn't a spot. That wasn't a shot at you.
Doesn't like anything. He doesn't like that either.
That wasn't a shot at you, Andy. I'm just saying.
Well said.
I think of that when I think, you know, when I hear people calling coaches coach. I'm not a player, and I don't feel like I should. It's my place to call a coach. I'm not saying I've never done it. I have. But I tried not to because I feel like I'm not a player.
And Andy, this isn't meant for you because I know you and I know you're not. But if I hear someone I don't know say it, it sounds to me like they're a butt kisser.
That
a little bit, yeah, like, hey, coach, also, you know what I mean? Like,
that, you know, you mentioned Steve Burton, Tom. I agree with you. That's how I feel about that.
And I actually, Andy, that's the first time I ever heard you use the. You never call Bill coach.
Andy always calls Dante coach.
Oh, yeah,
which never bothered me because you have such a close relationship with him. And you guys are, you know, you guys have been tight for, what,
still
6 or 7
coach,
years.
Though.
But you guys have been so close that I don't feel like it's disrespectful when you say it to him. But maybe, I've never heard you call
maybe
Bill
maybe
coach.
I should start, I call Bill Bill. Maybe I should start calling him coach and he'll respond with a Tom.
I've never called him coach. I always call him Bill.
In my mind, it's one of those things that has morphed into, like, doctor. You know, Dr. Smith. The guy's a doctor.
Wow.
It is. It's like Mr.
These guys coach football.
I didn't say they're on the same level, but they're officer, you know, a police officer. He's Officer Smith. I think there's certain jobs you have that the job becomes your title. And I think Coach has kind of morphed into one of them.
It's not anything that I would feel strongly about. Yeah, I certainly don't make fun of people for doing it.
By the way, like, everybody does it. You know,
well,
like,
a lot of people do, yeah. You're right.
No, I don't even mean questions, but, you know, Coach Belichick's transcript is sent out, or Coach, it's not Bill Belichick's transcript, it's Coach Belichick.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's your own personal preference. It's not a big deal either way,
yeah,
obviously. The Gherkin man has chimed in about Fred's
pickle?
Fred's shopping excursion, or whatever that word is I'm trying to think of.
Now you don't know excursion? Boy, your words are shrinking by the day.
Was that the right word?
Excursion.
Yeah, use that word.
Okay, I just didn't know if I knew the word. I didn't know if I was using it right.
So you didn't really know the word then.
$170 pellet gun is bad, but what woman in her right mind goes to Bass Pro Shop for clothes? What did he buy her?
Wow,
a camo skirt with a fox skin top? Good Lord. He says, I loved Kayson last year and was hoping he would come out, but watching his versatility really makes me want this guy.
Oh, he's a junior?
No, last year.
Last year.
Oh.
So
where is he going to go, Tom? I know of him, but I don't know like where they're saying where he's ranked.
I think he's going to go
top 10 guy?
I think he's going to go top 10. I've seen like pre-draft things that have him in the middle, like the 20s, but I think he's one of the guys that is going to move up after teams talk with him. And I don't mean this disrespectful, but I even think like the people who do the draft, like the websites out there, I just don't think they see him as much as you see Malcolm Jenkins from Ohio State. But once people start knowing more about him, I think he's good. Like Patrick Willis is the perfect example.
He played for
Ole Miss. People didn't really know his name, and I think Kayson will be one of those guys.
And Willis was also another one of those guys. And I don't know about Kayson, but the way you're describing him, that coaches love him,
yes,
players. Everybody loves him. He does everything right, so there's no red flags, and he just keeps sliding his way.
They were talking about him last night, about his community work, and they did a commercial where he was in it talking about what he's done with kids. So
he'll go to the Senior Bowl, and that coaching staff will fall in love with him and all that.
It's like at this time last year when we were talking about Patrick Willis, and Tom was probably the first one because, as he calls himself, he's a loser and he sees every one of these games. People were calling him a first-round pick. He went 11th.
Right.
You know, that's, I mean, you know, that's more than just a first round pick. He obviously was a very highly regarded prospect, and maybe we'll see. The reason I asked, though, do you guys think that Belichick would put that kind of value on that position, that he would take him in the top five? Now, I'm not saying, don't say the individual player, because I don't know if he's worthy of that.
I think
that position.
I think it would depend on what happens with Gay and Samuel. Like, if he lost both of those guys somehow, which I don't think would happen, but if that did happen, then maybe that becomes a little bit more of a pressing need.
Right.
Maybe if they got a younger linebacker in free agency, if they had a guy out there like a Vrabel that they like that they bring in, and they address that. It's tough, because you just don't know with these guys.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Kayson individually, specifically, because I don't know if he's worthy of a top five.
That's what I would say.
But
it would
saying
have
that
to be
position, if the guy
impact,
was worthy of it.
He views him as an 8-year stud. You know, a guy that this is a Richard Seymour, this is, you know, who Vince Wilfork, or a guy that I think in my defense can be an immediate contributor, playmaker, stud, starter.
I agree with you guys. And the reason I ask is because you hear some people talk about, I don't know if it's right or not, but you hear some people say, well, Bill wouldn't take a running back in the top five. He wouldn't take Darren McFadden, you know, in the top five. Or he wouldn't take a wide receiver in the top five. He doesn't put that kind of, quote, value on those positions. Now, I personally think that's a bunch of garbage, because I think we've seen Bill do anything it takes that he thinks is
but
the
I
best
do think he
of
puts
team.
Corner higher
but I'm
on the list.
Yeah, that's
I don't know
I
where
saying.
Exactly
and
it
I,
goes,
I
but I think if
guys.
He saw a guy that he thought was Champ Bailey or Asante Samuel, like a shutdown corner, I think he'd take him number one overall.
If he thought Darren McFadden was Adrian Peterson or better, he's going to take him if he's there on the board.
Yep.
Who's this here? We got James from England. He says, I have to say I agree with you guys. If and when Bill leaves, Dean would get my vote. Never before have I seen a coach inspire such confidence. I'm not sure what it is, but the guy just exudes confidence. Do you guys feel this way towards him, too? Or is it just because the team is so good right now, the whole organization is brimming with confidence?
I like him. I mean, I don't know if I'd say I've never seen a guy that exudes confidence or in that way, but I like him. I think the players like him. I think the players like him more than they like Derek Mangini. I think the players respect him more than they respected Eric Mangini.
And they're going to meetings? Or no, that was Pease who had the...
Yeah.
What was your story with McGinnis? I don't have it straight.
It was tell Pease I'll try to be there.
But they did. We heard a lot of that, those kind of comments with Mangini. I remember a story, and I don't know if I ever told this one to Tom, but I know, I think Andy, you know it. When Brian was still here, he and I were out in the tent at back at Bryan College, and you know, and during training camp, and we're sitting there waiting for practice to start, and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy are sitting in the tent. You know, and well, everybody else basically is on the field. This is before stretching. Everybody else is kind of working, and they're just sitting there in the tent. And you know, of course, they start making fun of us because we're just sitting around doing nothing, like the media does. And
you're fat, bald, and funny looking.
Well, at the time, I was just fat. Anyway, Brian starts talking to me. Brian, of course, has to, you know, shoot back. I just sat there, laughed, and you know, whatever. And they go back and forth, and he says something about, he goes, you guys write about football. You probably never even played it. You know, how do you write about it? And Brian shoots back and says, well, you know, your secondary coach, Eric Mann, you know, he never played in the pros, you know. And of course, Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy said, we don't listen to him either.
Of course, they're expatriates.
Right. They're not here anymore. So sometimes I think you get a little disrespect when it suits you with some of those assistant coaches.
Right. Okay, Phil from Nova Scotia. This is the Andy is a bisexual email, so I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I was thinking that it is a good thing that your show is on the web because it has become quite racy as of late due to all the talk about such things as teats, more head, and more ass. And then on Wednesday's show, you guys got into politics a little bit. I would suggest steering clear of that touchy subject before Bo Curious Andy says something like, every time we talk about Bush, I feel queasy.
I don't remember talking about politics, but I like that email.
I don't really either.
Boy, Gary just got rid of that email. What, you didn't want me to read it?
What's See, it's problem? Annoying when he deletes emails, huh? Isn't it?
I couldn't hear you.
No, you just read it.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe there was something on there that I wasn't supposed to read.
See, it throws off Tom, too, when Gary deletes from the other room. It makes you...
Well, he's used to doing it because Fred doesn't delete them, and then they just sit there, and you don't know what's been read or not.
That's true. Every time we talk about Bush, I feel queasy.
The upside of Bush.
Apparently, Gary didn't care. RJ is coming in. He said, what's up, dudes? He said, concerning your heated debate yesterday as to whether Fred is a joke... in an actual credible source, no. Whether Corey Dillon is a complete ass face or not, Tom should be able to tell listeners what he thinks without fear of being a bad media filter. Fred, just because he has an opinion contrary to yours doesn't mean it shouldn't be shared. We don't have to believe it. I wouldn't like the show as much as if we didn't get that kind of information. Just wanted to share that because I love your show. Game time. It's Would You Rather. Okay, you guys ready? It's Would You Rather.
Is this clean?
Aaron Andrews or...
I don't know. Gary, have you read
Aaron
through
Andrews.
This? Huh?
Whose email is this?
RJ.
Yeah, just go with it.
Okay, it's...
We're on the internet.
One is, have a permanent smile or have a permanent boner. Something to consider. Funerals.
Smile.
I'm going to say smile.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with smile.
Because nowhere in there does it say I can't get a boner anytime I want
and
one.
And I heard that commercial for what is it?
And I can. You just watch.
Cialis, where it says the four-hour boner, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
Priapism?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awkward. Smile.
Okay. Watch some porn with your mom or star in a porno with your mother-in-law.
Oh.
I have to go with the former, but I don't want to do either one of those things.
I'll watch porn with my mom.
Me too.
Yeah,
frankly, I think I have. fight B-Lo with one arm tied behind your back, or Corey Dillon with one arm behind his back. Something to consider. Corey is at playing weight.
B-Lo.
Oh yeah.
Something else to consider. Corey might have a weapon.
Yeah. All it needs is one arm to have shank in it or something.
Okay, die, go to hell, and be stuck in a room listening to Eric Scalavino, or die, go to hell, and have to bang someone old from The View once daily. Something to consider. Something to consider. The hot dog joke told by Eric about Roethlisberger.
Worthless hot dog?
I'll definitely go with the latter on that one.
Yeah, I'll go with the latter, too. I mean, now that what's-her-name's off the view, they're not disgusting.
Plus, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is
well, she's kind of hot, but even the others, I just okay.
And you said someone old, so I think that excludes Elizabeth.
Barbara Walters?
Wouldn't you rather okay.
Wouldn't you rather do that than listen to Eric?
I don't care if Rosie O'Donnell comes back.
Well,
I'll take that over
Eric. There.
That's who I meant was gone. It makes it a more palatable
And I don't know what this word is, but if it means idiot, I'm all for it. By the way, Chris Ferreira is a chode, C-H-O-D-E. Hopefully that's not a swear word.
Never heard of it.
The podcast volume is a daily struggle. The music on my iPod comes out loud and clear, but your show is sometimes much lower. When I buy you guys lunch and get my girl and I a tour next summer, I'll have to make sure I slip someone a 20 to take me to his office so I can kick him in the nuts. Later, RJ. Well, obviously, chode is a word for idiot, moron.
Incompetent.
I've never heard of it.
I never heard that either.
Is it possible it's a typo?
It might be. You know how I just read... hey, Reverend Ray, he hasn't been around for
What's
a
up,
while.
Reverend Rev.
He said, hey, I haven't emailed in a while, but I've been listening to the podcast and reading the printed material. Earlier this week, one of you mentioned that Jerry Jones is infatuated with McFadden and may be looking to trade up to get him.
Yep.
Now, let's assume we get the fifth overall pick from San Francisco and they get 20 from Cleveland. Is 20 and 31 straight up a fair trade for five? And yes, would you?
I don't think so.
And yes, would you want to do that? Could we be looking at something like 20, Marion Barber in the third, maybe Roy Williams? what do you guys think?
I don't. My gut reaction is 20 and 31 wouldn't be
Probably
enough
to
get
throw
up
in
there.
Like a third or something.
You'd have to give something else.
And McFadden or no McFadden, I don't think Marion Barber is part of any package
right.
because I still think the Cowboys feel that he can be valuable at certain things.
What about Julius Jones? As your backup to Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah, yeah. They would put Jones in, but not Barber.
And maybe the Patriots realize, you know what, Maroney really does need that second guy.
Right.
That is true. And I think Jones is a very good back to do that
right.
kind of thing.
So I think if it plays out the way we're saying here, there'll be conversations.
And
there's no doubt in my mind there will be conversations.
Normally I would say, listen, just because he was at the Arkansas game doesn't mean he wants Darren McFadden. But Jerry Jones is so transparent in what he wants and what he likes
right.
that I'm sure that's what it is.
I mean, there's a chance his last press conference this year, he'll say, our focus of the offseason is getting Darren McFadden.
Yeah. Right. He could say that. But he does love Arkansas in general. It's not just
right.
McFadden. I do think that there's definite longing for McFadden specifically. But don't forget that this guy is Arkansas through and through. I mean, that's
yeah.
his school. That's
and
where he
don't
played.
Forget McFadden could go one overall, depending on who, I don't know who's picking or
right.
who might trade up to get him.
Is Dallas the only team with multiple first-round picks right now?
Yes, I believe so, right?
Because I hear a lot of people saying...
Patriots had theirs taken away.
No, I know that. But I hear a lot of people saying, well, it's another... The Patriots are going to give, another... they're saying, they're running up the score. It's like sticking up their middle finger at the league, for the whole Spygate thing, and now they're going to do it again because they're going to trade and they're going to end up with two first-round picks anyway. You could take one away, but we're still going to end up with two. Isn't there only one way they can end up with two?
I believe so.
I mean, no one's going to just give them their first-round pick, are they?
I'm trying to think of other teams.
I think that Dallas is the only one because, obviously, if they're going to have someone trade up to get their top five pick, then... They're not going to have two first-round picks to give them in return. They'd be left with none, right? Unless Dallas is the only suitor. They would only have the one that they get from the team that they trade
right.
with, right?
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something. I hear a lot of people talking about that. Dallas is really the only way that they can end up with two first-round picks.
What are you laughing at?
The Gherkin man has chimed back in with a definition of chode. Just an FYI, chode is the Midwest slang for man's baby batter.
As in, rhymes with chunk?
Never mind.
Well, the good news is
a load of chode?
The good news is that Fred is actually still alive. He is here with us.
How'd it go?
And he had the top down in the hard top Cadillac because his hair's all messed up again.
Doctor says I have at least until next week.
You got to make it through at least.
I say you're adding 4 days on.
Yeah, you got to get at least 10 years out of it. I'm not even close to retirement age.
You all right? Everything check out
Everything's
okay?
Everything's good. Yeah.
What did they do to you?
You name it.
Oh, no. Did you have to bend over?
Poke, prod, yeah.
Did you get the rubber glove? The rubber glove?
The yearly physical, man.
I go to a yearly physical. I don't do that.
They don't?
That's how they do physicals.
Uh-huh. Does it mean anything that he was smoking a cigarette afterwards?
And both his hands were on
your
shoulders?
That's not how they measure pants.
But I also like to say that I've had internal problems there, and I still have never had that done to me. So.
I've never had
Well, you're not in your 40s yet.
Well, you do. At,
Paul
when,
is.
When you hit, no, I'm not. When you hit 40, you have to get that prostate exam, right?
That's right.
Well, don't tell that to Chris Ferreira. He'll start at this. You know,
the big ones.
39 again, Chris will say.
Then you get the colonostomies or whatever that is.
Colonoscopy.
But in four, yeah.
But word to the wise, just for a side note, don't ever say you don't know what something means on this show.
100 now chodes.
Our next six emails are chode, definition of chode. I wish you were here, Fred, because I'm sure you know what chode means.
Chode?
Yeah.
Spell it.
C-H-O-D-E.
Never heard of it before.
It's... How did you put it? Man-batter?
Midwest.
No, it's a penis that is wider than is long. That's what a chode is.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, I didn't. I thought.
Well, that's not
I'm
what
confused.
The other guy said.
Well, I'm going to go with Dana Neal.
I thought that was a tuna can.
How is that possible?
I don't know. In high school, okay. They referred to those
I
as tuna
I can't believe
cans.
It. We've gotten 12 emails because
on a
I
chode.
Said, I'm not sure what chode means, but he's calling Chris Ferreira a chode. Someone called Chris Ferreira a chode. And we've now got 12 emails.
Fred, so you're costing us skirt. Lunches, by the way, with your $170 pellet.
Yeah.
Gun.
Why? What happened?
People now realize you're rich and they're not buying us lunch anymore.
Oh, my God. I shot my eye out.
You blew your chode on a...
And someone wants to know what...
You had to go on the radio and tell everyone I bought that?
And someone...
Now, what do you think?
And other people...
Of course
someone wants to know why you're buying your wife clothes at Bass Pro Shop.
No, actually... And my wife is very picky.
She's one of the most stylish women I know.
But she was very, and she had never been to, she was very, very surprised at the quality and style of the clothes that they had.
So that's a ringing endorsement.
She said as far as those type of shops go, she thinks L.L. Bean is very dowdy, you know, the type of clothes they have. And this was more.
What's dowdy mean?
You know, like kind of old fashioned.
Oh. Okay.
And this was more contemporary.
What about Land's End? Does she like Land's End?
I like Land's End.
I like Land's End too, but I wouldn't exactly.
She's really into cabbie clothes. You ever hear cabbie?
Nope.
The women will hear. It's like.
The women.
You can't buy it off
Cali
the rack.
Cali Girl and Christy?
The women.
You can't buy cabbie clothes off the rack. You got to know someone. It's that type of stuff.
Oh,
so you got to be rich like
no,
you.
No, it's not. Not
that,
it's
that's
not,
why. That's yes. why Andy Tom and I don't have any idea
right.
what you're talking about.
We're not rich like you.
Right. Anyway.
And just so you know, the readers had Nikki dressed in a camouflage skirt with a coonskin cap on or something.
Well,
so that's not what she bought.
Well, what readers do we have here?
I mean, the emailers.
Oh,
we'll take a break.
Now
here.
He's nitpicking for everybody.
Now he knows how it feels.
We're going to take a break here so we can get Fred back in the host chair. But as we go to break, I'm going to give there's an example with a definition of chode. It's last night your mom tongued my chode.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman.
Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Soak up the sun and have some fun with TMT Vacations, New England's number one local choice for tropical getaways to Mexico, Bermuda, and the Caribbean. For over 30 years, TMT has provided expert travel service at the very best prices around. And with TMT, you get the risk-free, personalized service you just don't get from those discount travel websites. To find out about this week's vacation specials, visit TMTVacations.com.
A TMT Vacations Sunshine.
Spa
Spalding Rehabilitation has been recognized as New England's best rehabilitation hospital for the last 10 years by U.S. News & World Report. As the official rehabilitation hospital of the New England Patriots, their centers of excellence provide expert and innovative rehabilitation care to the New England community. Rehabilitation expertise is their business. Excellent patient care is their tradition. Visit them on the web at SpaldingRehab.org. That's SpaldingRehab.org.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
I know you guys must have been talking a lot about my physical, because Mike Gerken writes in. He says, as you can tell, I have nothing to do at work today. I was wondering if Fred got his physical from Lefty the Fly Fisherman, and was he gentle with his rod?
Wow. Even our emailers are getting dirty now. Hey, Fred, I got my turkey yesterday, 23-pounder.
That's a good one.
Wow, who's eating it?
Just Allison and I.
So you're going to have a lot of turkey sandwiches
that's
later?
Well, I figured the leftovers, right? That's how you play it. Because last year we got a small turkey and didn't have anything left
you
over.
You got to have
Craig's
leftovers.
Craig sent in a recipe if you want it.
Well, oh, did he?
You know what? It didn't sound bad. It was.
Craig is now sending recipes?
I bet you Craig knows how to cook.
Yeah. Right. No, it had a good technique for keeping the juices in.
Oh, all right.
But I was kidding around because my wife is going to Harrisburg, but I'm not. I'm staying here.
And you have lobster,
and
right?
And her father, who's a good guy, my father, he's staying behind too. I said, oh, yeah, we should probably, you know, the two of us go out. So I told Nikki, yeah, I think maybe we'll fry a turkey in the backyard. She's like, oh, no, because you always hear about those people every year. They burn down their house trying to deep fry a turkey in the backyard. She goes, I can
no,
see the two of you.
No, because those idiots try to do it in the garage. Do it in the backyard.
Right,
you'll be fine.
Right.
Well,
it's
he's
good.
An idiot, too.
That's true.
I could just, you know, hear her phone.
It is
Brad,
good.
Where's your phone?
I bet you can buy one of those at Bass Pro.
Oh, yeah. They got smokers, turkeys, grills.
So why is your father-in-law staying behind?
You don't want to go to Harrisburg. It's ridiculous.
No, I'm just wondering how he's staying behind.
No, he's a pastor he runs a church, so he's got to be here on the weekend.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and you avoid going down there.
No, I know. You always do whatever you can.
Oh, yeah. It's not good. Not
you
a
know,
good scene.
Since way back when, you know, back in the FEC, when you were going to Harrisburg all the time.
Well, I had to make a couple.
Claiming that you really weren't. But.
Oh, and
no, you did. You said I was going to New Hampshire.
Speaking
no,
of your trips, Fred,
did
you know that there's an L.L. Bean now in Mansfield, so you don't have to drive 6 hours to Maine to
yeah,
get a
true.
Sweater
that's
or whatever.
True, but it's
you
not going to be like the one in Maine.
I'm sure.
The one in Maine is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days
Or you could just
year.
Drive to Mansfield and
yeah.
And wait till it's open.
Or you can buy it online.
It's open.
Or you can go online and buy it. So, you know. No, but Bass.
Or not buy it because it's
you know, I love L.L. Bean, but comparing Bass Pro Store to L.L. Bean is like apples and oranges.
So that
not
has like
close.
Women's stuff.
Oh, it's got Tom, you got to go in.
I'll go.
Stop guessing. Just go in and see it for yourself.
I don't know what Bass Pro Shop is. I thought it was just one of those things that had like fishing and hunting stuff.
No, it has everything.
All right.
So
everything.
It's basically an L.L. Bean.
They got Under Armour there, for crying out loud.
All right. I have to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Although I'm disappointed they didn't put the restaurant in. I heard some of them have restaurants.
It's coming next month.
I want to try some
it's
elk.
It's a fish one.
What does it have?
With the restaurant?
Elk has elk?
No. I assume.
I don't. Maybe. I don't know.
What, I mean,
You read on TV?
Elk.
Are we talking about football at all today?
Not really.
Not so far.
A little bit. But mostly it's been one of those free-form Friday shows.
I don't know if you know this,
yeah.
But basically we're just waiting for the AFC Championship game.
We're biding our time to the playoffs.
And who's it going to be, Patriots and Steelers?
I don't know, but
yep.
We'll at least pretend that's an interesting game. But no one cares about the Bills.
Given the Colts' status, Fred, I think there's a chance that it could be the Steelers.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens in the next four
Steelers
or five
could
weeks.
Beat the Patriots twice in 1 year.
Yeah, no chance. I think we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks and see how the Colts deal with this. And if Manning continues to throw 5 and 6 interceptions.
But you're contradicting yourself, Andy.
No, I really believe they're going to go undefeated. But I've said all along the team that I think would beat them would be the Steelers.
But if the Steelers come in here and lose 24-20 or 23-20, Andy is going to be proven right because he said they would be the tough team. And then if they play again, that's what
the Colts did.
Paul thinks they stink.
I don't think they stink.
Oh,
I don't
that's
think
what you said.
No, I don't. That's not what I. That's not.
I
what
stunned
I
him
said.
For a minute there. He stumbled.
No, but
I
Paul,
said,
you and I don't think that they're going to be close. I don't think they're going to be that close.
But I don't think they stink. I think they're clearly the third best team in the league. And right now,
behind the Patriots and Dallas.
Right now, I did. You know, the Colts at full strength and the Steelers. I think there's a big difference between those two teams. But the Colts are not at full strength, and they won't be. They won't be at full strength the rest of the year.
I was thinking about like Freeney. And Seymour, like the Patriots have lost Seymour and won. But Freeney does one thing, and he does it phenomenal. He rushes the passer. And I think once you take that out of the Colts defense, you're never going to find somebody who can come in. And like even Simeon Rice isn't going to do what Freeney does. That's a huge loss for them.
If that was the only loss, I would agree with everything you said. But I would say, yeah, they'll find a way. I mean, they have Mathis on the other side. They can plug Rice in. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can give them a little bit of something. Who knows what he has left. You know, and they can get on with. They can keep scoring points. I don't think they can do the shootouts that they used to without all the receivers. They're missing three guys, and they might be missing those three guys for a while. And I just don't see where they're going to make up for all of those
losses.
My
gut feeling tells me you don't see Harrison again this season.
I don't think you're going to see him, not from the reports that we were reading two weeks before they played the Patriots about there being permanent damage in that knee and it'll never be the same.
Well, I think we do have to have a writing campaign to get Bill Polian off the competition committee.
No question.
So if anyone needs to write, it's 280 Park Avenue. New York, New York. Right to Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Sounds like Teddy.
And, you know, we're not asking for the guy to be fired. We're not asking for a suspension or a fine. We're just saying off the competition committee because he's on there for one reason, to promote his own team, not for the good of the league.
And if you do write, make sure you tell them that Fred Kirsch
told you to
write.
I'll tell you one thing.
I don't care.
If this works, it's going to be the funniest thing I've ever seen.
They don't like me at the league anyway, so what's one more?
I actually think that's great. Matter of fact, they should say Fred Kirsch from Patriots Football Weekly. Any publicity is good publicity.
I've been called a pain in the ass by someone very high up in the
hammer,
league.
Right?
No, higher than her. Her boss. Her boss's boss.
You've said it on the air before.
Joe Brown?
Yeah, he called me a pain in the ass.
I agree.
Because I point out the deficiencies in his office.
If they think you're a pain in the ass, imagine if they had to deal with me.
Fred is a pain in the
I'm guessing that you would no longer
be
employed.
I've heard Fred on those conference calls, though. He's not a lovable old... Sometimes.
What are you talking about?
Fred here.
I'm saying, when there's butt to be kicked, you don't mind kicking it.
Yeah, but I don't...
When there's butt to be kissed, he kisses it, too.
I haven't kicked butt in a long time.
Well, I'm just saying, I've heard
so obedient.
You never, the one time, man, I'll tell you, back when we worked in Boston, there was a writer that was a freelancer for us, and he was just terrible. We'd get his stuff in, and we'd have to, like, spend longer than he did writing it, editing it.
Because if so there was a
style?
I don't know.
We were basically doing
he's getting
him a
us
favor.
Food, so I was being nice.
And he was, he kept calling Brian Morey to try to get more articles in, and, you know, Brian didn't return his call once. So he got on the phone with me and started, like, bad-mouthing Morey. Man, I lost it on this guy. Oh, did I lose it on this guy.
Oh. Fred can open the can.
Oh.
I've only really seen it once.
I've seen him do it.
Super Bowl.
Oh.
Twice. He kicked me off the show, and then, what's his name, the photographer.
Kicking you off the show is nothing. No, I know. I heard that whole thing from here. And I didn't see this.
The photographer. What's
I didn't
his
see
name?
The other. Oh yeah, that was a good. That was
Peter.
A good explosion.
Yeah,
good and
one.
And also a well deserved one.
Stop.
A well deserved one.
Was that when Paul was doing the man street?
Yeah, he was at good food store buying lunch, and oh by the way, getting a single quote or two.
Three quotes.
Is there any chance you have that anywhere?
Hello,
I'd love
Timothy
to read
Frog,
it.
Broadcasting
I would say if
Super
it was for
Bowl.
Any other
That's
website
it.
Other than Patriots.com, I'm sure we could find it in the archives, but I wouldn't
oh, it's
even
there.
Know. I wouldn't even know how to find it.
Chris Ferreira knows how to find it. It's yeah, there.
It's probably written in a different font.
Which Super Bowl was? Oh, that was every Super Bowl.
39.
Oh, no, 39.
That was every Super Bowl.
It was 39. My favorite part of this whole
Hello,
thing,
this is
I knew
Frog
I was going to get it from Andy
from
when I didn't
Super
go to
Bowl.
That, but Fred was like the ultimate understanding boss. He came to me months before the playoffs and said, you know what? If it comes down to that, that's going to be cutting it too close. You're not going to be going. I knew in November I wasn't going to the Super Bowl if the Patriots went. And Fred has done nothing but bust my balls about not being there ever since.
That's all right. No, because
I told you in my review, I got all sappy with you and how much I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've done nothing but make fun of me and tease my vulnerability since.
Well,
you
just,
two going to hug,
just,
cry?
Jesus. I just looked at those two offerings on the wall, those two pinup girls that you put up there. Wow.
They are the one on the sports left. Reporters.
The one on the left is Aaron Andrews, the aforementioned Aaron Andrews.
What a body on
Who
her.
Gary said
Gary
was overrated.
Gary said was overrated, but has since... found that photo for us and said I was
Oh my goodness.
Which by the way, apparently there's a website sidelinehotties.com.
There is.
Well, there's I saw in pro
to
football
see those
talk.
Sideline reporters have come a long way and are taken seriously as professionals.
Right. I saw that on Pro Football Talk there's also an awfulannouncing.com where they had the transcript of that
Emmett
Mike Golic thing from
I assumed
from
it was
the steroids.
Emmett.
Oh, there's a whole other thing on the Emmett stuff.
I think he has his own page
probably.
There,
Don't quit. Don't even quit.
Let's see. Emails. Todd Porter says, which would you prefer if Brewski say out Troy Brown, Harrison retire? One, sign Samuel, let Moss go, draft a linebacker and wide receiver with the first two picks, sign a lower level linebacker, or let Gay go. Todd, it's like, yeah. There's like 50,000 options here. I can't do that. I can't even read an easy email. You're overestimating my powers here.
That's for sure.
Let's see. David from the Philippines. Regarding my true-false question, you may want to know the opponent. What did he have a true-false question?
I don't remember one.
I'm way off here. See, this is what happens when I don't do the emails.
We were going very smoothly until you got here.
Because Tom jumps around and gets things that are relevant.
He has a true-false one there that I haven't read yet.
Two emails below it is his question.
Okay, Gary. Doug from Blackstone. Guys, first thing I'd like to say is that if Fred bought a Gammo pellet gun, it was money well spent. I bought one last year because I had a major squirrel problem. Problem solved. 19 this year alone, plus 16 last year. I'm not proud of it, but they a problem. For all
That's a heck of a shot.
Yeah.
35 squirrels in 2 years?
Oh, my God.
I'd love to kill squirrels. I just don't think I could hit them.
For all you anti-hunters, there's just a rat with a makeover, and they do a lot of damage.
I agree.
Now for the game. What kind of improvements have the Bills made that could make them a serious threat to the Patriots this weekend?
Well, you can take serious out of there, because I don't think that they...
The only difference is Lee Evans is making some plays.
Let's be honest. The Patriots would have to implode for them to be a serious threat.
I agree.
Maybe they keep the score close and, you know, within reason because they play hard and the Patriots might not be up for the game. But to be a serious threat, the Patriots have to do that themselves.
Is there anything on the defensive side of the ball Bills can do that? I mean, we know Schoble has caused problems.
Schoble and Kelce get pressure on Brady by themselves.
Well, I have a problem, though, with the whole Cowboy thing. Tony Romo was throwing the ball right at those guys.
Right.
Now, if Brady's going to do that, what Romo did, yeah, I agree. They might have a chance. But I just don't think you can say, well, they played the Cowboys tough.
Right.
Tony Romo had one of the all-time worst games a quarterback ever had.
And let's take the, as Tom said, let's take the threat out of the equation, maybe talk about how the Bills have been able to turn it around. And I would say beyond the fact that they've played really bad teams, they beat the Jets twice, Miami. I mean, they've beaten three of their wins are against a team with a combined one win. So beyond that, I think that maybe what they've done without watching every game is settle in a little bit defensively with the personnel that they have. They were ravaged by injuries. They have 12 guys on IR right now, and a lot of those, you know, Posluszny went down in the Patriots game. I think that they've maybe settled in a little bit with what they actually have, and as Andy said, Kelce and Schoble can get some pressure on the outside. They're not Mathis and Freeney by any stretch, but they can get pressure, and maybe that's helped them a little bit. And Bill talked about it, and I know early in the year this was the case too. They've been very tough in the red zone, and they've kept points down that way. They've been very strong in the red zone. So I think if you're looking for ways and possible ways that the game is a little bit closer than you might think it would be, that would be it.
Okay. And Doug from Blackstone also says, Tom, I went to your fan site, and it's unique. That's as kind as I can be. How do you go from life on the run, hiding from bookies, to having your own website and working for the New England Patriots with such a fine group of men? Life is funny. It really is.
He crossed paths with Fred Kirsch.
I have to say something here. What in God's name is this that's sitting in front of me?
The coupon was only for a free sub, Tom. It's free. It's for you.
Oh, you'd use the coupon. Oh, okay. No problem.
Are you
it's just a half
questioning free food?
No, I thought
it's just a small, unfortunately.
That's all right.
Is it a turkey?
I didn't know we got it for free.
Oh. Who bought this?
Gary had free coupons.
Oh.
What website is he talking about?
Your fan website.
Oh.
Tom Casale for president.
Hey, baby, you just got to turn your life around. If things aren't going well, that's why I never buy the I can't get a job, I can't do this. You're lazy.
Right.
You're lazy like I was lazy. You got to step it up and you got to turn your life
around.
You
got to keep trying stuff.
Eventually, Fred will hire you.
And you got to send an email to Fred Kirsch.
Speaking of trying things, Craig on the line. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Good. You don't sound happy.
Well, I'm just tired, you know. Just a couple of phone calls and turning this off, transferring power here and what. It's just been a lot going on.
Okay. So, I don't know what you're talking about, but what else?
Apparently your cell phone doesn't work as well in North Carolina.
Oh, well, I'm in the middle of a move, as you guys know. I did want to touch on a couple things. First off, typically when we think of the Bills, you know, we think the Schobel because I don't think anybody sacked Brady more than him. But right now the Bills are last in the league. They only have 9 sacks all season. And as you just mentioned a minute ago, they played 3 pitiful offensive teams. If there was an opportunity to, you know, pile up some sacks, they would have taken advantage of it. So I don't think that's really going to be an issue. You guys were talking before about...
How's their turnover differential?
+5, I believe, or +4?
I bet you that's a fact.
They've got 12 picks. They've done a good job turning the ball over through the air.
Yeah,
yeah, they're one of the few teams...
Didn't 5 of them come in one game?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They have as many picks as touchdowns allowed, so they're doing good. Overall, defensively, they kind of suck. They give up a ton of yards, but not a whole lot of points. So I do think, though, that we're going to go ahead and exploit them this weekend. By the way, I don't know if you guys have mentioned it, but Dilfer's starting for the 49ers. So we're at number 4 in the draft now. That's likely to improve before it's all over with.
Well, Dilfer, he could do all right.
And he can't be any worse than Alex Smith.
Right.
I think if we do anything draft-wise, if we end up holding on to that first pick, up as high as it's going to be, I think we're going to end up going with DB. We're probably going to lose Stallworth this year. I don't think we're going to, you know, keep him for next year because his bonus is so high, his salary numbers.
You know, Craig made me think of something.
Taking your own life.
A weird thought.
A razor blade.
You know, let's just say that the Colts defense kind of gets it back together and they are able to keep things together so that they still have a playoff opportunity. Do you think the Colts and do you think the Patriots, whatever, do a trade? Because the Patriots, all they have are wide receivers right now. Do you think in the middle of the season you would do that if you were
trading deadline is passed?
You know, is it? You can't do anything?
But even if it hadn't been, no.
No? Okay.
Well, we're on the Colts for a second. I don't think he has anything left, but if Simeon Rice had absolutely anything left in the tank, it would be very fortunate, perfect fit, because of the defense and should be able to come in and play right away. And I don't think you can necessarily say just because that Denver let him go, there's a chance it's the perfect fit. It's a Bill Belichick type, Hank Poteet, or he brings Tony Dungy knows him. He knows Tony Dungy in the scheme. There's a chance he could do more for the Colts than he could for maybe another team.
Probably any other team.
Right.
I totally agree with you. I mean, where did Simeon Rice become Simeon Rice with Tony Dungy in Tampa? He wasn't that great as a top pick in Arizona. He was okay. He wasn't a bust, but he became Simeon Rice in Tampa.
And I like the signing. I think it's a good move.
Why not?
It's a great signing. Even it if is. Even if they get zero tackles, zero sacks, zero pressures, they lost nothing. It's right. it could help them.
It's a lot of the signings the Patriots have done over the years where we say, hey, why not?
And he's a Dungy player. That's the comparison, too, finding a Belichick player who might have a little something left. You can
I really agree with
squeak
Andy
out a Bobby Hamilton, Anthony Pleasant, some guy everybody else doesn't want. Maybe you can get a couple weeks out of him.
Hey, John in L.A., how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up, John?
I wanted to call and tell you that I'm bringing absolutely nothing to the table on this phone call.
Okay. That's fine.
I am on the road driving up to San Francisco, and I was actually burned yesterday's show onto a CD, and I was listening to it, and I was like, hey, their show's on now. So I want to hear what you guys are talking about.
Okay. So what are you going to do, stay on the line all day?
No, I just figured I'd call in for a second, say hello.
Well, hello. And, what are you doing up in San?
Did you read my email yet?
Have I read your email yet?
It's an easy question.
John Clayton.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it while you're on the line?
No, I don't dare.
Well, John, just a word of warning. Belichick does have an earthquake plan for San Francisco, so I don't know the timing of it, but just be careful when you go up there.
Yeah, I heard you guys actually talking about that the other day. I haven't read anything. Is there going to be an earthquake this weekend?
No, but you know, considering what Belichick has been doing to the 49ers, you know, ravaging their team this year because they have the pick, I can only imagine that an earthquake is next.
He's just waiting for them to be leading toward the end of the game, and then he'll do it.
Okay.
It'll cause a fumble, sort of like in Caddyshack.
Right, exactly.
At the end of Caddyshack.
The explosions at the end, right. All right, John. Well,
careful
driving. Oh, jeez.
Gary's got an itchy trigger finger today.
He just called in all the way from L.A.
I'm going to agree with Gary.
I am too.
On this because John just called to say, hey.
That's okay.
I don't mind, John. You and I, we're business partners on this Belichick show.
What other show do people feel that, you know, close to that they just want to call and say hello?
None, because they have to be on hold.
Well, that's all right, you know.
I don't agree with that necessarily. We could have guys on hold if we had multiple lines.
And the way they do it, they keep guys on hold and they talk for 40 minutes.
Right.
You know? But our
blabbermouths like Paul on there making points.
Our hold is email. I mean, we're so backed up on email that it's just, you know, it just takes the place of phone calls.
Right. I see no reason why I needed to be brought into that.
What happened?
Why, just like the totally gratuitous shot he had to take at me.
That's what I do.
If he didn't, though, Paul, you'd be mad because he doesn't think of you anymore. You feel bad about that.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, so let's read John in L.A.'s email.
Okay.
He says, I like Peyton Manning. I think he's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. But the latest from John Clayton is hilarious. I don't know that I've ever heard Peyton Manning's butt boy parade play as loudly as with the synchronicity after a win, let alone the symphony of suck up we've experienced since his donkey punch in San Diego. Check this out. This is from John Clayton. Peyton Manning has a slight edge over Tom Brady in the Pro Bowl voting, and what he did against the Chargers shows why. At his worst, he's still one of the best. Manning threw 6 interceptions against the Chargers. Despite that, he almost overcame a 23-0 deficit without most of his offensive weapons. Incredible. Wow. Incredible indeed. They put a pair of pedophile glasses on this balding epitome of a pipsqueak and call him the professor. Meanwhile, Clayton is the dumbest effing nerd I've ever seen, to the point that I find myself wondering, is it possible this is some kind of bizarre Ronald McDonald House skit gone terribly wrong where they let the kind-hearted little retarded child play grown-up? I'm a reporter.
This is the guy who just called?
Yeah. Look, Mommy, I have a pencil in my ear.
He's a writer.
Oh, boy. So anyway, honestly, though, it does beg the question, if this guy is the professor, who the hell are his students? I've given this some thought, and there can only be one conclusion, one terrifying, horrifying conclusions. We are. We are John Clayton students. Like I said, he said, it's incredible.
Well, I'm surprised. I thought we'd get more of these emails because on the shows leading up to Monday Night Football, some of the analysts, and I hate to be, you know, I'm not a Patriots, hey, they're all out to get us or this and that, but they were going overboard on Peyton Manning. Someone called it the best game he's ever played because he was the one that got him there. Because he was the what?
His interceptions is one of the reasons it was 23-0.
The only thing I would say in his defense is that I think he probably deserved to throw one or two interceptions. I think he was completely hung out to dry.
Oh, yeah.
But however,
But they went overboard.
The only reason they came back from a 23-point deficit was because of all the bad plays San Diego made.
Yeah.
You know, they gave him a touchdown when Phillip Rivers dropped the ball in the end zone. It was Manning didn't lead them back at all. I'll give Indianapolis as a team credit for hanging in and having a chance to win the game, but Manning was awful.
Right.
And to say otherwise, I agree with Tom 100%.
It's the Colts defense.
The defense gave him an opportunity to win the game.
It was the Tony Romo game where I said it was nice to see that he could lead them back and win the game, but don't sit there and try to make positives out of that.
The
guy played terribly.
It's exactly the same game. Now, I will say that, and Andy and I talked about this, you could see the interceptions. You know, there's Moorhead is coming across the middle along the goal line. He just stopped. And then there was a charger there waiting and picked off the pass.
Boy,
I mean, that should have been a touchdown. Can you imagine Polian on that one?
I was just going to say, oh, my God.
Moorhead!
That was in San Diego. And we've been in the San Diego press. It's very small.
Yes.
And open.
Yeah,
it's right. Small and open.
I thought Reggie Wayne did absolutely nothing to break up an easy play down the sideline. That Cromartie made a one-handed interception. Reggie Wayne stood there and watched him do it. I think he was hung out to dry to an extent. But at the same time, he did nothing to overcome the fact that he had no offensive weapons. So to sit there and laud the guy for a bad game, let's call it what it was. It was a bad game. Anybody that says it was one of his best games is just an idiot.
It's like that game that Brady had in Denver. He threw like five picks.
Right.
He had a bad game.
And there's been games that he's had some bad games and led the team back at the end. It still was a bad game. You know, still a bad game.
And speaking of the Chargers, I wanted to bring up, they're talking about Cromartie's going to go to the Pro Bowl. He didn't start. Like, so that must be bad coaching, because if the guy's going to the Pro Bowl and he's a reserve.
Well, Ted Cottrell is the.
I also read somewhere where they're saying that he's played so well as their nickelback that they're content to let Drayton Florence go in free agency at the end of the year. Well, if that's true, to further Tom's point, why the hell don't they switch it and have Cromartie be the starting cornerback and Florence come off the bench for the last seven games that you have him on your team?
And let's be honest. We've been blasting these Charger cornerbacks for the last 2 years. If you got a guy who can play, get him out on the field.
Strippers has some fantasy questions for Tom. Cotchery versus Pittsburgh, Mark Clayton versus Atlanta. Who do I start?
Mark Clayton.
Okay. There you go, Stripper.
He put a lot of thought into that.
Well, sometimes it's, I guess, an easy answer, right? I don't know.
Or he just picked one of the two names and said it.
I wouldn't start a Jet if you paid me.
James Edwards from North Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, this year's Patriots have a chance to do something no other Patriots team has ever done. It's not going undefeated or even 15-1. It's sweeping all the games against AFC East opponents. They did have a chance to do it at the end of the 05 season, but Belichick opted to rest his players against the Dolphins before the playoffs. So they do have a chance to do that.
And they will.
They had a chance in 04, too, but they lost to a 2-13 Dolphins team in the last division game.
When did he rest his players against the Dolphins?
Last game in the regular season in 05. Castle came off the bench.
Oh, I was here.
Quarters.
Castle almost won, too.
Yeah.
And he had to tell Castle to throw it away.
I was thinking it was back in the Super Bowl days. I was going back further.
Yeah, in 04, they lost to Miami in the third-to-last game. And they played the Jets the following week, and they beat them. They would have been 6-0 in the division that year had they not lost that lead. They lost an 11-point lead in the last 2.5 minutes, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
Hey, 05, absolutely. That last game that they lost was
when they
was
wanted
Miami,
to play Jacksonville instead of Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
right.
when they basically lost on purpose. All the other losses that year were out of the division.
Is Felger coming in today?
Probably.
He's supposed to be.
Really? He's still doing this? I thought maybe he'd quit this job, too, now.
That's good, Fred. I like that. It's a good gratuitous shot.
Let's see. TG and NJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but is the combined age of the QBs in the Green Bay Carolina game 81?
Something like that.
Something like that.
It's 80-something.
I don't know math, but
39
sounds about right.
And 43.
44?
Vinny?
Yeah, so that's 83.
83.
Is Favre 39?
I think
he's that old now?
Maybe I'm wrong. I'll look it up while you're reading.
Also, TG says, is it supposed to snow? It is supposed to snow in Buffalo Sunday night. So if it does, how does that affect the passing game into the Pats cover?
Well, this is, to me, I think the Patriots are going to destroy everyone they play from here on in. The only thing that I find interesting for the rest of the season is if weather is going to do anything to this offense. I know you could take both sides of the argument, but I kind of find that interesting if they start, because they play a lot of games at home here. They play at Buffalo. They play at New York Giants. So if weather becomes a factor late in the year, then I think if you go in the playoffs, then maybe you start saying, boy, this isn't such an easy road, because if we get some bad weather, amazingly, it's going to hurt the Patriots and not the other team like it has in the past.
Yep.
Now, I don't think that the Bills really have anything that they can – I don't think they can stop, but I think it would have to be a Pittsburgh.
I would love to see some bad weather, like, in just to see how the Patriots game changes, because I'm sure they'll adapt, and I just would like
Didn't
to
I
see –
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just agreeing with you. Let's see.
But I also think that – You know, we've I don't think we've given Maroney a hard time. We've just said we've been a little disappointed in him. But I also think if they need to line up and run the ball, they probably can. They've just been taking advantage of throwing the ball because they've been able to do it.
Oh, by the way,
Bill said they could.
I figured out the Maroney thing.
First of all, what's the Maroney thing?
Why he doesn't have a touchdown this year.
Because he has not.
And why they don't put him in when they're on the goal line.
Because...
Here's Belichick's thinking. I got this guy. He's got a lot of potential, but you know I'm not sure that he's 100% mentally there all the time. I get down to the goal line. I know I'm going to score. I got a million ways to score. I'm not going to give this guy the easy touchdown. He's going to have to earn his touchdowns. So that's what he's doing this year.
All right.
Okay.
You know, Fred, when I pass by your office a lot of times, I see you just staring at your computer
That's
screen,
what I think of.
And I'm wondering what you're doing. Now I know. So.
Wait, you don't think that makes sense?
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'm okay. with you.
All right.
By the way, Vinny is 44 and Favre is 38.
Okay, so that's 82. Yep. Sawyer from Waterloo. No one escapes the sharp edge of wrath of our listeners. Even
no.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum yesterday. Mike Parenti and Chris Price that were doing the show. I know you guys like to rip John Rook, but those two guys they brought into host are horrible. They actually said that Hobbs is having a good year because he's third on the team on tackles. That's maybe because he has so many tackles because he's getting beat like a drum and having to tackle the guy.
That is true.
He just let catch the ball. It reiterates your usage of the eye test and not the numbers. Also, what can I get if I get rid of Polian? The guy's out of control. I was hoping that if I got rid of him via scandal or accidental death, maybe by a freak gutter robot malfunction, I could get a job photographing the games and doing the show. If those guys doing Playbook can get a job, I know I could do it. Let me know if you need me to take one for the team because Polian needs to be taken out.
We could use a replacement for photographers.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Really?
But
we were the only newspaper in the free world that didn't have a shot of the one-handed catch Randy Moss made in Indianapolis.
I'm kind of like an older school fan because we didn't have the internet when I was growing up, so I've never really looked at stats until I started working here. Like I couldn't tell you who led the Cowboys in stats in 1997 unless they said it during a game. But to me, the most misleading stat is leading tackle is that to me. We saw the AFC Championship game, Eric Alexander, 10, 11 tackles, whatever he had. I just think if you're around, you just jump on the pile, and there's so many things. Like I said, Cato June led the Colts in tackles last year, and that linebacking core got significantly upgraded when he left. So what does it mean? Teddy Bruschi leads the team in tackles this year.
Did you know that? Teddy Bruschi leads the Patriots in tackles.
Yeah. Now, is that the league or the coaches?
Coaches.
Okay.
But he's an inside linebacker.
I know what you're saying.
He's always around the plays.
I don't even think he's been on the field that much, to be honest with you. With the exception of the last game. He played a lot last game.
Don't do that. We're on the radio. I can hear that.
Wow.
He's like banging the table with his
empty... He is like a little ADD boy over
there.
Oh,
my God. Mike in Vegas.
I have another piece of pizza. You need some...
Oh, I know where John Rook is. Doing Friars games. I heard when I got in my car yesterday.
Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Wherever they're playing,
he's
doing
it. Yeah. San Juan shootout.
I heard
probably.
Him yesterday.
Yeah, I guess I'd go there instead of staying here and doing the show.
You think?
Mike in Vegas says...
Puerto Rico to do a real basketball game or this square room with cinder blocks or his basement?
With
constant work and a big
done.
Cock joint above us.
Mike says he lives in Vegas and they have a line on the Pats winning a Super Bowl at 160 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I got to bet 160 to win 100?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think on that?
That's not a good bet.
That's the best line you'll ever get for anything like that.
And by the way, Mike says we're going to beat the Bills by 17.
So, okay.
There you go.
I'm going with 97, 99-2.
Yeah, Fred, based on the jocularity in the locker room today, Andy has upped his prediction to 99-2.
Absolute blowout.
You're stealing my thunder.
Why?
Because my score for the Jet game was going to be 77-2.
You can still have that. I took 99.
Robert has some problems with us.
No, there's a surprise.
He says, let me be the first to say that the new Patriots site is bad but livable.
I agree.
However, I can't change my email address on my profile. When I go to update profile and change email, I'm asked to send a message to you.
You all right over there?
Yeah.
You gonna go back to the doctor?
I told you he added a few days on with that doctor. Said.
Also, I think that Ellis
flu
Hobbs
shot is kicking in right now. You're dying.
I think that Ellis Hobbs is a must for the Pro Bowl this year. If my comments seem like they were from yesterday, they probably were, as I currently have only the podcast to listen to and don't listen to you guys live. However, I think you guys are the best podcast available on iTunes.
Thanks.
So keep up the good work, Cork Soakers.
I thought he had a problem with us.
No, just the website.
Oh, yeah.
We all have a
doesn't
problem
everybody?
With that.
Oh, and another thing, I would just like to say to Chris, the webmaster, that the volume situation stinks. 1 minute, I can't hear you guys. The next, I can't because you're too loud. And Fred, you have been mentioned on my MySpace site. Oh, that's not good.
Oh, God, what site is that? Can you please, whoever this is, please email that site so I can see it?
He left the link.
Okay.
Also, he wants to buy us lunch, so Gary, get on that.
Yes, Gary, get on that.
Gary's doing work.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Must for somebody else?
Let's see. Steven says, I know there's been a lot of negative stuff about Maroney.
You want one. I know you do. Have a slice.
It's pretty good.
I was going to have one.
Well, have one.
I am talking here. I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's never stopped you before.
I know there's been a lot of negative stuff about Maroney being fragile, but people need to realize that he didn't have the benefit of the off-season program. He was in a sling till about the second week of training camp. Hopefully, he will continue to get stronger as the second half of the season is upon us. Maroney's going to have a good second half. I
wouldn't doubt that, but I think the concerns of him being injury prone are legitimate as well. They go back a couple
years. And he missed the offseason program because he was injured for the third time as a rookie.
You can't point to durability at this point as being one of his strengths because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So we'll see.
But I do think he will probably have a big second half.
Yeah.
And you can't keep a star down, right, Paul?
You can't keep a star from shining.
Yeah, he's a star and he knows it and he's going to shine.
And I'll tell you one thing. If he doesn't have a big second half of the year, then I think the Darren McFadden talk can start more at draft time because he has to show something here. If you go 2 years and you just average and you're sitting there at five and you got a guy like McFadden on the board, then I could see Bill maybe going that route. So I think it'll be interesting here for Maroney over because, like we said before, what else can you give him? He got the best passing game in the history of the NFL. There's got to be openings to run through. So I think that'll be interesting to watch over the second half of the season, too.
More emailer on emailer crime. Shannon says we have a Craig Jr. and it's that numbnut from L.A.
Oh. John's a good guy.
Yeah,
he and I are going to do the Bill Belichick
Shannon's
show together.
Shannon's tough on a lot of people.
He is.
I like the emailer on emailer crime, though.
He's got more wars going on with different emailers. Anyway, the only thing I took from last Sunday night's Colts-Charger game was that Tom Brady should have been the NFL's MVP in 06. Satan Manning, he calls him Satan Manning, man. Receiving core in that game looks similar to what? Why? Who's Satan? it's spelled S E Y.
The Prince of Darkness, Red.
Oh, okay.
Holy Moses, you're a chode.
Well, I don't call him. I wouldn't say that he's evil.
No. I just know why he's calling him Satan Manning because his name is Peyton Manning, and he's calling him Satan.
Satan Manning,
and he doesn't play for the Patriots.
Satan Manning's receiving core.
Fred, the email's on your screen, not on the Spanish channel.
Oh, boy. In that game, looks similar to what Brady had last year, and what did Satan do with it? He threw six picks. Brady led his team to within seconds of the Super Bowl with a crappy receiving core, and what was it? And that was without a Reggie Wayne type of player. And Phillip Rivers actually went to the Pro Bowl instead of Brady. What the bleep was that all about? You
Brady,
know why?
Brady
Screw
said,
everybody.
Brady said he wouldn't go.
And
that's why.
Shannon,
that's why.
Shannon, you're one of my favorite emailers, but I got to disagree a little bit because
a little bit.
Manning came into that game with a lot of injuries. Brady, he knew what he had. So if you told Manning at the beginning of the year he wasn't going to have Reggie Wayne, I'm sure him and Moorhead or him and whoever
right.
would have a better rapport. Moorhead never plays, and Dallas Clark was supposed to play, then he didn't. So I think it's a little bit different.
It's a lot different. Like Brady struggled with 48% completion
for
all those weeks in the early in the year.
And that's why I agreed with this story. I don't know, Fred, if you saw this, but there was a piece in the Herald early this week from Tom Brady's father who said he actually thought that Tom had a better year last year than he's having this year, and that's the reason why. Because of all the turmoil they went through and the progress that they showed through the course of the year to get to the level where at the end of the year they were a pretty good offense. And I think there's an argument to be made for that. In September, it wasn't a good offense, and Brady looked every bit the quarterback that was missing his weapons.
Yeah.
And he kept at it, and it's a testament to how good he is. Now, if Peyton Manning 8 weeks from now in the playoffs is throwing six interceptions still, then I'll say, hey, He couldn't do it without Marvin Harrison and all his weapons in tow. And Brady could. But, you know, that was the first game, much like, you know, that Broncos game last year or some of the other games in September where he was throwing four full games. That's not that small of a sample. Four full games. He completed fewer than 50% of his passes.
By the way, what happened to the coked out Caldwell? Did he sign with someone? I'm not sure about that, but I do know that Moorhead from the Colts got a hold of Richey Stash.
Do you ever not read anything?
Put those guys on the same team and the end zone lines will disappear.
Do you ever not read anything?
What?
He's calling him a coked out wide receiver. I mean,
it's our emailer.
So if they say,
this is like sitting in the sports bar, Paul. You know,
you know what they were doing a real sports show there? They would dump that immediately.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because you can't just make those kinds of accusations.
I didn't make an accusation. He did.
A caller calls in and says, you know, it's like when they say, you know, I ran into so-and-so down, you know, I was out in Providence one night, and me, bang, gone. You're
out.
Yeah,
but he's just making fun. He's not saying he saw him doing it.
But I'm just saying, people think of him.
He's on the Redskins. He doesn't play.
Tom Casale's on MySpace.
Oh, God.
What?
You have a MySpace page? You're losing.
No. And there's a link. There's a link.
I do not have a MySpace page. I don't even know what MySpace is.
Gary, let's take a break. I'm going to go to this page, and we'll be right back.
Oh, now a shot. Unbelievable. 3-2, Taylor Twellman. Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Soak up the sun and have some fun with TMT Vacations, New England's number one local choice for tropical getaways to Mexico, Bermuda, and the Caribbean. For over 30 years, TMT has provided expert travel service at the very best prices around. And with TMT, you get the risk-free, personalized service you just don't get from those discount travel websites. To find out about this week's vacation specials, visit TMTVacations.com.
A TMT Vacation Sunshine.
Spalding Rehabilitation has been recognized as New England's best rehabilitation hospital for the last 10 years by U.S. News & World Report. As
oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions. They will make a third straight appearance in MLS Cup.
The New England Revolution brought home a U.S. Open Cup championship, an Eastern Conference championship, and a return trip to MLS Cup. And they can't wait for 2008. Revolution season tickets are now on sale for the 2008 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season matches and 5 special soccer matches. Access to the Patriots ticket exchange program and free parking all season long. And if you think that's good, order before November 30th and you'll save up to 15% per ticket. Don't miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium as the Revs get their kicks in 2008.
Foxborough's going nuts!
Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2008 ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution!
Get your kicks! The New England Revolution!
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The man's a menace.
All right. I did go to Tom Casale MySpace. It's not the same Tom Casale because Tom doesn't like ping pong.
that's the only reason.
But Mike says, I've never been on MySpace until today, and I have no idea what Tom looks like. But if that is indeed you and that is your MySpace page, you should be beat up with a dirty sock full of quarters in them. What heterosexual
my dirty socks?
Dirty socks?
Has a MySpace page that openly admits that he has adopted a purple cartoon penguin. Good God, man, as Andy would say. You are so rhymes with hay.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would write. The scary thing about the whole thing, though, is the guy's from Schenectady, New York, and it's 20 minutes from where I grew up.
I say it's just you trolling for young babes on the internet.
Maybe this guy has adopted you, and maybe all these pictures of you
see,
on the internet.
I don't like that whole MySpace stuff.
Oh, I don't either.
It rubs me the wrong way. Because you can do that. You could.
It's too like, look at me. Yeah. But plus I want more friends.
I could make one of Andy Hart and pretend I'm Andy Hart.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Let's see.
What
Brian
you can't make is a Wikipedia Andy Hart page.
Apparently not.
Because those losers at Wikipedia. That,
oh, they're all. It's
that
like
douche canoe in Finland or wherever he was.
Oh, I have a question. I was thinking about this the other night.
Uh-oh.
Now, why could I say douche canoe and not the other word? Because I thought douche was the bad part of the word. So you're telling me I can't say bag? You know what I'm saying?
Well, hole is not the bad part of the word. But you can say ass, and you can't say hole.
There's a lot of weird stuff on those.
But I'm
was that a long enough pause?
I'm just confused. I thought the douche part was the bad part of the word.
Well, I don't know.
To douche is not necessarily the... The one thing. It's any type of expungent.
Oh, okay.
Let's move on.
Let's see. Brian from Honolulu.
Dude.
Wow. That's a good place to be listening to the show from.
Yes.
Honolulu. It says, first, I heard an emailer complain about the delivery of PFW. I've subscribed for years and pay extra for first class in an envelope, and it is rarely late. Usually it's here by Thursday.
Rarely.
That guy's mailman must be stealing his.
I pay extra, and it's rarely late.
You pay through the nose, and we appreciate
well,
your subscription.
Honolulu, that's a long way away.
Right. It is.
Yeah. You got to
we appreciate
over
it.
The Pacific there. Second, A hint into solving the podcast volume problem. Paul is always the loudest, and Fred is always the softest. I smell a conspiracy.
That is a problem.
I'll tell you why.
Fred is always the loudest here.
But I'll tell you why Fred's always the softest is because you rarely speak into the mic.
Yeah, he's looking all
over
the place.
You're always looking at
left,
whoever you
right.
talk to.
You can heat
I'm
him.
Serious. I'm not a pro.
Fade well, off as he leans.
And then, I'm not
then he yells
emails.
At us if we do it.
I don't care.
If right. we do it, he says,
you,
speaking
you
to the
have
mic.
To talk into the mic. It's radio.
Right.
Lastly,
thanks, boss.
This program frequently reminds me of a conversation at J.J. Foley's. But this
hey.
This bye week of free-form discussion confirms it. When Tom called for the nuking of the Middle East, I felt like I was back at the bar.
Who's the guy? Who's this emailer?
Brian from Honolulu.
And he knows J.J. Foley's, huh?
But he also says, Tom, you may want to look into English as a second language course.
No problem. I still say if we nuke the Middle East, no one would miss it.
A lot of late nights at J.J. Foley's after working at the Herald, Freddie.
J.J. Foley's, huh? Isn't that the one where Reagan went to in the South End? The South Boston? Is that the one?
It's near the Herald. It's not really in South Boston.
But isn't that the famous one where all the you know, the candidates always have to stop?
That was Erie Pub in Dorchester.
Oh, Erie yes. Pub in Dorchester. Okay. Andy finds that funny.
I just think it's funny that you always have a part of the name, story, place, everything right, but just not the whole thing.
Shannon says, of course Richey isn't a cokehead.
I know
it's just
that
hilarious that his
was.
Eyes pop out of his helmet like he's high as a kite, and so does Moorhead's. That's why myself and everyone else who watches football that I know calls him Coked Out Caldwell.
Except for it's no just, fun Perillo.
It's just freaking funny. I'm not implying he's an actual user. For Christ's sake, ease up, Nancy.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it's not. It's emailer on emailer, emailer on
Paul,
on everybody.
I just think we should be. Nah, never mind.
Well,
are we raising
right.
the bar here?
No, not
are
at all.
Are you trying to be Sean McDonough?
Not at all. I don't want to raise the bar. I liked it. This has been one of my more enjoyable shows, and we've said a lot of things that have certainly crossed the line. I just think that we're throwing accusations around about a player.
No. Didn't you hear, Fred? We didn't.
But it doesn't matter that it was
an emailer.
My point is, it doesn't matter that it's a joke.
I hear what Paul's saying. James,
I don't want to get
blanket
in trouble
Perillo
with
again.
James is a huge
no wet blanket, believe
James.
Me.
This James is a huge, huge fan,
Has he
and he's
lunch?
Wondering what happened to Sammy Morris.
he was injured. He's out for the year.
Still he's out is. For the year, an IR.
Well, we make fun of him, but we get $9 million.
Saying,
why do they wear number 91 on the back of the helmet?
He was saying
every
that
week?
Morris and Maroney looked like it was a good tandem, and they did.
Yes.
But Morris is on.
Yeah,
IR.
I don't know why Bill got away from that.
Let's
stop playing Marquise Hill too.
TG and NJ has a new name for himself. He's calling himself now CC, which stands for Chode Canoe.
Chode Canoe.
Yeah.
Trouble is, I know what a canoe is. I still don't really know what a chode is.
He says
multiple definitions.
You and some of the emailers have got into it about getting another back in the offseason to supplement Maroney, but will Morris not be back? You can only imagine where the Patriots would be right now if Morris was still in the picture. Will the Pats look to keep Morris on board next year? Or go shopping in the off season, and also, is that a pellet gun still sticking out of Fred's arse?
Well,
Morris will be back.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Now, I don't know anything about if they're going to take McFadden or any of that stuff. But if Bill loves him, you look at what Minnesota did. They had Chester Taylor. Chester Taylor's not Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Sammy Morris, and if this is if they don't like Maroney at all, and just say this guy we screwed up. Sammy Morris is not Darren McFadden. And your whole offense changes when you bring in a guy like McFadden. Now, personally, I don't think there's any chance that McFadden's there or that they select him. But if you were making that argument, Sammy Morris would be a nice backup to Darren McFadden.
Yeah, it would be instead of Maroney, not supplanting Maroney. You'd work out something to get rid of Maroney. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think you could just get rid of Maroney.
Right.
And I don't think that they would use first-round picks twice in 3 years in the same position. That's why I don't. I mean, even if he would have to really, really love McFadden.
Right.
Well, is there anyone?
And then be pretty confident that he could deal Maroney because it doesn't make any sense to have them both on the roster.
A couple of years ago, you know, everyone, not just you, Tom, but everyone thought that, you know, Reggie Bush. If you have a chance to take Reggie Bush, you take. Is there anybody coming up next year that running back that if he's there and the Patriots had, let's say, the fourth or the fifth
it
pick,
it would be McFadden.
McFadden.
He's that good?
But he's a different
is he that good?
Yeah, but he's a different back. He's a Peterson-type back. Bush was a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy.
Right.
Where, and
less questions about McFadden.
Really?
But, well, Bush
I thought
had
Bush
the,
was
the,
a not, can't-miss.
But a can't-miss athlete, everybody had questions of what he's going to do.
Really?
McFadden is a running back. Bush
didn't can't-miss. They didn't know how Bush was going to be used, but he was can't-miss. I agree with Tom.
Yeah, can't-miss, but not as a running back.
Right.
As an athlete,
just
you
just a different
program.
Kind of thing. This guy is actually probably a safer pick in that.
Because he's a running back.
He's more of a traditional running back in that sense.
What about Chris Wells?
He's a good player.
Any good?
Yeah.
Top first rounder?
But he's not coming out this year.
He's not?
I don't think so. He's a sophomore.
Okay. Does anyone else call him Chris?
That's Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells?
Yes. He can't then. He's only a sophomore? Is it his third year?
I'm pretty sure he's a sophomore.
He's played for two years.
He's a freshman. That's why Pittman came out. Because Wells was going
to. You have to be there for 3 years.
Okay.
So no, he played as a true. I don't know. I mean, he may have redshirted. This may, in fact, be the end of his third year. I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. Another Sammy Morris question from Clint. He says, with the lack of Sammy Morris, how do you expect the red zone offense to perform the rest of the season? And by the way, Rice only played for Dungy for one season.
That's true.
And then he calls us taints.
I thought he played for Dungy longer.
I thought he played longer.
No, it was only one season.
I'm mistaken about that. I thought he played longer in under Dungy.
The red zone, they'll just throw it to Randy Moss.
You all right over there?
No.
Your butt hurts from having a big finger up it?
Oh, now, you know, that's not right.
Listen, I have to say something here.
What?
I get a bad rap on this show. You know, I threw around the word douchebag, and this guy is like, he's rated X over
what
here.
What are you doing?
Non-stop with the questionable content. It's all you. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
It's Fred.
Yeah, no,
Fred gets me going.
And he's very sophomoric.
You know, the only difference, though, Tom, is somehow you get upset and you think about maybe I shouldn't say that. Andy just doesn't care.
No.
He just keeps
saying. I move on to the next one.
but the best part is the Kevin Euclid thing on EEI was way over.
That was offensive.
It's the same thing with popping the cherry. I mean, it's these
these
little things that you say that somehow offend him, and you can say virtually anything else, and he thinks it's great.
Right.
I don't understand.
Why are you standing up now?
I can't.
I'm uncomfortable.
I can't say that on the radio.
Why?
Because of the rod in his hand.
Oh. No, that's just not
See,
right.
Gary's on board.
What about the pellet gun? Isn't that already up there?
Frank's got a busy ass.
I take one visit to Bass Pro, and everyone thinks it's Ass Pro.
He actually did it, too.
He's happy with himself. Look at him. He's smirking. He loves it.
Let's see. Shannon, again, says, Tom, Fred, Gary, and Andy, I have a question for all of you, and be honest. Are you putting estrogen pills in Paul's coffee?
His boobs are growing. I didn't call him Teats.
What are you Gary, do? You, what are you doing? Do? Gary, are you deleting emails?
Yes, see, it annoys everyone, not just me.
After you read it, yeah.
Well, I can do that.
Well, why
you
don't
never
you?
Do it. You're never in that file. You're always in your own. I never know where you are.
But now I'm in your file because somebody else started it. So now I'm confused. Okay. I'm back on track here. What was I going to say? See, you made me lose my line of thinking here.
Yeah,
I was going to say something about...
We're all better off for that.
Something about... Paul, breasts, I don't know.
Paul being a woman because
he
doesn't think it's right that we say that Shay Caldwell's a coke fiend.
I forget what I was going to say. Anyway. Dan in Fairfax, Virginia. Philip Rivers was selected to the Pro Bowl along with Carson Palmer and Peyton Manning. Tom Brady was the first alternate. He refused to go. But Rivers was definitely selected ahead of him.
Okay. I'm not going to argue about this, but I know that that's not true, so I'm just going to drop it.
It was Vince Young that eventually wound up accepting the Pro Bowl spot. I don't think it's fair to tell the email that Philip Rivers made the Pro Bowl over Brady because Brady refused.
Okay.
Are you sure about this? Because
I'm 1,000% sure.
Rivers was not elected to the Pro Bowl?
I was told that he, in no uncertain terms, before the decisions were even made, said he wasn't going. Now, maybe that's not true.
I thought Rivers was one of the top three and was elected.
No.
Maybe that's not true.
But the story.
I was told that he put it out there.
Yeah, but that
by people
in
this organization.
But that's irrelevant. The top three are voted by players, coaches, and.
But he said he wasn't going.
So they ignored the voting?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I don't know that for sure because I didn't actually see the voting. I'm told that from in the organization that he said, I'm not going.
Didn't that happen with the Pebble Beach thing?
Yes.
Yeah, but
he said I'm not going to the Pro Bowl.
Right,
if
I'm in there, I'm not
and
going.
I wonder why he's the soft one.
No, if I'm in there, I'm not going. But that had nothing to do with the voting.
He said I'm not going to the Pro Bowl. I'm going
regardless.
To the Pebble.
Yeah, regardless.
Listen, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you what I was told. That's the whole thing about
Right.
Like being a reporter. People tell you things. I don't know if it's true.
That's because
I certainly never wrote it.
He
but
was playing in the pro-am, and he told him, if I get in there, I'm not going to the pro-am.
That's not what he said. That's not what I was told he said,
okay.
I should say.
All right, I don't know.
I was told that he said, I'm not going. I'm going to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Not if I'm voted in, I'm not going. He said, I'm not going.
I thought he put that out there before we even knew. Or
before the voting was done? I don't know. I don't know when. You know how it all transpired. I'm just telling you what I was told.
All right. Craig from North Carolina, he says, Maroney has never been a featured back. Coach knew that when he drafted him. We are the ones who assume that he would be promoted to the – well, he was drafted
in the first round.
He was
Craig.
Definitely the feature back in college.
Yeah. He had guys who took some of the carries away from him. I mean, you know,
say that to Lawrence Maroney. Next time you call Lawrence Maroney, say that to him and see how he reacts.
Craig, if they drafted him in the first round, they didn't expect him to be a featured back, then
– right. And what we say – wasn't Mike Hart. Mike Hart gets all the carries when he's healthy. He wasn't that, but he was the primary back every year when he was at Minnesota.
And especially his last year when Gary Russell was the other guy. Even though Russell got a lot of yards, and I don't know if it's all true, but Maroney says, I only came off the field when I was tired.
And he had like 45 carry-type games.
A lot of Russell's carries that year, I told you, remember I said they played the weak schedule?
Yes.
They were beating Tulsa by 40. A lot of his came in the fourth quarter. He was getting 100-yard games in one quarter because the other teams were so tired, he'd come in and just pound them.
Stripper says Paul's wrong. If Rivers replaced Tom, then how did Vince get there? Rivers was in. Vince replaced Tom.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. I don't know.
I'm not saying who replaced who. I'm telling
you. I don't want you to, Paul, just don't get mad at me.
Don't call me a liar.
No, I just don't. It's not me.
No, it's not interesting
I don't know.
At all. We just have like 8 emails about it. We don't want to explain it at all.
I'm just saying it's not me. Get mad at the emails.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad
at
anybody.
Just
I'm just
you
telling you what I was told.
Talks. I want it to be a nice day, Paul. I don't want it to be a bad day.
We can make.
When did you turn into a pansy?
We can have the fun and make fun of me, and that'll make you laugh. That'll be funny.
All right. I'm sorry, Paul.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I'm exasperated. You can't say anything.
That's a good one to get, Gary. The exasperated.
You can't say anything.
What?
What can you say? I mean, you're trying to explain a situation. You don't want to hear that. You don't. I don't want people to be calling a player a coke fiend. That's I'm being a wet blanket. What do you want me to do?
I'm sorry.
What direction do you want the show to go in?
I don't know. You're right. I'm wrong.
So that's
Brett playing the role of the abused girlfriend.
The martyr.
You're right. I'm wrong. Don't hit me again.
Is there anything worse than a martyr?
Well, now what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
You guys are using words I don't understand. Exasperated, martyr.
I just don't. I mean,
I'm only kidding around.
I'll just sit here and not say anything. I mean, I don't know what you want me to do.
Kidding.
I really don't.
No.
Obviously,
I don't know the answer to this.
It's something that people care about, or they wouldn't be emailing in.
No, I don't know the answer.
I don't know.
You're saying one thing, but the email is saying another.
I don't know the answer. I should state that pretty plainly. I don't know the answer either. I'm just telling you what I was told.
I wish we had a producer. We could look it up. And then, oh.
But it's not something you can look up.
It's not something you can look up. I was listening.
Yes, there is. You can look at the story.
Wow.
Wow.
You can't say that.
Talk about thin skin.
Wait, you can? You're giving me the nod that word is okay. Tom, go with it
in that situation.
Go ahead, Tom.
If you're mad
enough. Hey, Gary, thanks for lunch.
If you're mad enough, you can use
it. You head. I don't even feel comfortable saying that.
No, there has to be articles about that.
Tom, there's another one you can put on his list.
I mean, that one's pretty.
Wow. DG wants to know, Fred, I heard you're a fly fisherman, and I say kudos to you. It's the best. Have you ever gone to Montana? And you just deleted another email, Gary. You can't.
I opened it, Fred. I didn't delete it.
You can't make this stuff move while I'm reading it. It's moving on the screen.
I just like to point out, the day I complained about this, you all made fun of me.
He does it every time I do it. He does that, and it never has made me even slip one
word.
Well,
Tom and Fred have both complained about it today. It's annoying.
I just didn't know what it was.
Anyway,
yeah,
no.
In Tom's defense, he just didn't realize what was going on.
I've never been to Montana. I have been to Idaho, Colorado, but never Montana.
Why is fly fishing great? You stand there by yourself in the water.
Fly fishing is
and you
the
have
best.
To cast a million times instead of just casting once and waiting.
Right.
I don't get it.
No, Fred, I'm being honest. Why do you like it?
It's more, well, I like it because when I'm doing it, that's all I'm thinking about. It's the total escape. There's a lot of
So it's like your golf. Like when people go golf to try to like.
Yeah, except, you know, I
But
say,
why couldn't I just go sit on that beautiful riverbank in Montana with a beaver?
Well, this is more, there's more thought involved because you're actually trying to
accomplish something.
You're trying to simulate exactly how the fish are eating that day. You know, you try to you work with the currents, you work with eddies. It's.
And one more question: how do you keep the thing that you're whipping back and forth from hitting you?
You've got to be.
Hey, how are you?
Some people that happens. I got one in my thumb, right through my nail. I had to take it out.
I would have paid to see that.
Paul, you all right?
Yeah. Now what did I do?
You just looked at me like I you know, farted
now
on
your
pillow.
Now you can't look
something.
At him. I
farted on his pillow.
Unbelievable.
But no,
I broke my all-time record, and Andy would be proud. I went 2 whole minutes without saying anything, and you're still yelling at me.
You looked at him.
The two hardest things in fly fishing are casting and tying knots. You can learn casting in a day.
Tie a knot.
But, well, not with that real thin leader.
I said I can't.
Yeah, it's tough.
I can't either.
It's really hard. But once you get past that, then it's just learning the different techniques.
But don't you have to make your own flies, too?
You don't have to. You can buy them for a buck, you know? But fly tying is another part of it. You know, you can get into that, too. It's a great hobby. Anyway, my other question is about your gutter cleaner. Did it work? After spending 3 hours moving ladders, I'm looking for a better option. I still haven't had a chance to use it yet. I tried it out, you know, initially, and
there weren't
a lot of leaves, and it took them right out. But I'm waiting to see when it's really jammed up in there, what happens.
It's looking like you're going to get to try it out around March.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be a snow cleaner.
P.S. Happy Thanksgiving to Patriots Nation. Friday's my only day to interact, so I'm jumping the gun.
Why did you just gesture angrily?
Because this thing's moving around.
I'm in my iTunes, Fred. I'm not touching the Outlook.
Okay.
He's looking for a red queen. Got nothing to do with it.
Let's see. Dave in Tempe. I watched the Oregon-Arizona game last night, and Anton Kaysen is an animal. Other than Dixon's injury, he is the reason Arizona won that game. He was all over the field making plays at corner and special teams. He dominated the game. I have no idea where he is projected to be drafted, but if we can get him, it allows us to either not overpay for Samuel or get Hobbs off the field. We got to get this guy. He has Patriots written all over him.
His name is Anton. That's his first name?
It's Antoine Kaysen.
Oh, Antoine.
Is he good on defense, too?
Yeah, he's really good. I just think it's funny that when people see
the guy's
been
playing. Is there a running back who's going to be drafted highly?
I think it's funny that the guy's been playing for 4 years, and they saw him one night. Now we have
right.
When I watched the game, I said to myself, I kind of got a feeling with the email. I didn't know if people were watching it,
right.
But because it was Oregon, I had a feeling that more people were watching the game, and I said, we go in tomorrow, it's going to be.
You've been talking about this guy for a long time.
Yeah,
I didn't know who he was when you first told me about him.
I just chuckle at the phrasing there. It's like someone on the Bills this week saying, other than the injury to Brady.
It's, right. They won the game because Dixon got hurt.
It's Anton. It's okay. Anton Kaysen.
Anton Oko. What's that guy's name?
Paul,
Oko Ono?
Looks like you're
Paulo
vindicated
Anton
here.
Ono. Oh. And again,
Stripper stepped up. He says, one day after he won the Diet Pepsi NFL Rookie of the Year Award at the Super Bowl, Tennessee quarterback Vince Young found out that he will be going to the Pro Bowl to play for the AFC. Young, who finished 8-5 as a starter, was voted the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year by AP after the season. Young replaces San Diego quarterback Philip Rivers, who was forced to withdraw from the Pro Bowl because of an ankle injury. Young was the second alternate behind Brady, who also withdrew.
But none of
that
solves our injury.
That doesn't vindicate me, though, because I think that Brady would have gone had he wanted to. And that was saying that
Rivers was
the one elected.
And bowed out.
And I'm just, again, I'm not saying that that's true because I didn't talk to Tom about it, obviously, and I don't really think he'd admit it. But I think people, I can tell you that I had a conversation with people in the organization, not people like in the coaching staff or anything, that have said that he informed them that he didn't want to go.
Well,
now we'll get to the bottom of it. We got players.
Josh also says that guy was right. Brady was an alternate to Rivers, and once he withdrew, Young was sent in Brady's place. So one other person saying that Rivers was the main guy there.
Where's Felger?
I know one thing.
Vrabel isn't waiting for him, so he better get in here soon.
I'm setting the over-under right now at 30 seconds that Mike Vrabel waits for Mike Felger to show up. And I don't blame him one bit.
One, cash the check and run.
All right, true or false? Next Thursday, the Patriots and the Celtics will have identical 10-0 records.
True.
Do the Celtics have that many games that they'll be 10?
If they
Whatever
do, they
have,
will.
True.
Although Fred doesn't think so. He thinks they'll be 7-3.
Fred's a little worried about the ball movement at times in the first half of these games and not enough playing time for Big Baby.
And Doc Rivers.
Speaking of ball movement.
Playing the Bill Belichick role was actually spreading the same message as Fred Kirsch. Did you see that pregame the other night? Before they stunk in the first half, was saying, we haven't played well lately the last two or three games. We haven't been good,
Especially in the first half.
And he said, you know, but we'll take the
wins. The fact that they're blowing teams out, not playing well, speaks volumes.
All right, Fred.
All right, let's take a timeout. And I don't know if we'll be back. No? Gary says maybe. No, we're not going to be back. You'll hear some players. And see you next Tuesday.